You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello everyone and a warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Wednesday's edition of the podcast. Day one of the Cheltenham Festival 2018 is in the books. We're looking ahead to the second day of action. Sam Norris here, joined in the studio by Ross Briley to reflect on some of the headlines from the first day of the festival. And Ross is hopefully going to point us in the direction of a winner or two on the second day. But first things first, good form, Ross?
Is that a question or a statement?
Question.
Yeah, not bad at all. Yeah, a couple of crossbars hit on the first day of Cheltenham, but you know, it's a long old week, and it was important to see just how the track was going to be ridden and how the jockeys would adapt to rather unique conditions.
Yes.
For a Cheltenham this time of year.
Yeah, I think softest ground on the opening day of the festival for 20 years or something. What was your appraisal of the ground, having seen it visually on the TV?
The main thing was that horses were getting through it, and it certainly wasn't adversely affecting the form. It was adversely affecting a few horses. If you were keen at all, if you did too much too soon, you were scuppered, essentially. Very low on shock results, and horses who had proven form in the prevailing conditions and have had a good winter have continued with that. I suppose that's the downside, is if you're a trainer or an owner and you've been waiting all winter for some spring ground, you're just a bit peeved by the whole scenario.
Yes, you certainly will be. Let's go back to the first race of the day then. The traditional curtain raiser of the festival is, of course, the Supreme Novices Hurdle, won by Somerville Boy, who upheld the form of his Tolworth win, beating Kalashnikov into second place. Mengli Khan was in third. Getterbird, well down the field, the favourite. So it was a goodish result for the layers in the opener. They're keen to get the first two in the betting beat. Somerville Boy had his supporters, though. And first of all, probably an apology is in order from myself for calling the Tolworth probably the worst grade one of the season when it's supplied with the 1-2 in the Supreme and the Betfair Hurdle winner. So apologies to the Tolworth for me disparaging the race, because it's supplied to the front two here. Somerville Boy beat Kalashnikov in that race in similar-ish conditions. I suppose it was there to see, wasn't it, on paper?
Well, not from you, though.
No.
Apparently so.
No.
I will pass on your apologies to the Tolworth.
Just don't think it's... Well, this season aside, it just doesn't... It's not,
no, and I,
it's
no,
not
I agree.
It's a grade one race, is it?
Well,
but clearly, yeah, clearly it is.
But part of the reason why it's not much of, part of the reason why it's not much of a grade one is because inevitably the horses who do run well in that then go on to encounter spring ground and very different conditions.
Yes,
you end up with a stiff finish and heavy ground in the middle of the winter, and that's no use to you. But actually, being able to get up that hill at Sandown has served Somerville Boy incredibly well today, as he didn't jump particularly well. He looked beaten at one point early on. He actually did the worst bit of running at the most crucial points at the start and the end of his race, in terms of he didn't hurdle particularly well early on, and he didn't jump the last two particularly well either.
He clouted two out, didn't he?
Whereas the middle of the race, he was fine.
Yeah.
It was all right. But again, that ability to get up the hill at Sandown last time out in heavy ground has seen him well, especially as the race was run at a right clip.
Mm.
Getterbird just half bolted with Ruby Walsh. I suppose Ruby in the past has enjoyed setting the fractions in the Supreme. You know, again, the likes of Champagne Fever have in the past, we've said that they were at the time looked like they were doing too much, but so he maybe wasn't that bothered about it at the time. But very different conditions. Kalashnikov looked the most likely winner. Amy Murphy will be livid, I think, being run down by the old rival Somerville Boy, and I was livid as I had a decent one of my best bets of the week was Mengli Khan each way. And at one point I thought,
yeah,
At the bottom of the hill, he's travelling not the best horse, but he just didn't stay as well as the rest.
Yeah, he put that defeat well behind him last time out. Maybe a bit of a reaction from the layers after that defeat. He went off at a big price in this race, given what he'd done before being beaten last time out.
Well, yeah, no, I agree. I think
easy to say now, of course, but...
Well, I mean, but that's sometimes the problem with anti-post markets, isn't it? They take everything at face value.
Yes.
Mengele Khan wins a couple of races early on and they go, this is the Supreme Novices winner. And then a couple of things go wrong and they go, this has got no chance.
Yeah, sure. Somerville Boy winning the opener then. Speaking about races that were ran at a right old clip, the second race of the day, the Arkle, only attracted five runners, but still looked a strong renewal on paper. Footpad has ended up routing them, won by 14 lengths with Brain Power going by Petit Mouchoir on the line, really, to claim second place. Petit Mouchoir and St. Calvados went off at a good clip in this one. Footpad, there's been questions as to whether he fully gets up the hill in the past. Do you think the thinking from Davey Russell and Aidan Coleman was we need to set a really, truly run race to try and catch Footpad out?
Possibly.
I was a bit surprised to see them both go off at that kind of breakneck speed.
Well, yeah.
I know it's a festival race, but five-runner races, they don't need to be ran like that.
No, and I mean, Aidan Coleman didn't ride in the opener, so he was probably a bit taken aback by the way it was going. But David Russell, I don't think, has any particular excuse, given the fact that Petit Mouchoir doesn't have to be ridden like that, although he was a bit keen going down to post, so there's a slight concern that he was on a bit of a hind into nothing if he had tried to hold him up. But yeah, I mean, Footpad has jumped wonderfully well, has experience of the track and plenty of hurdling and chasing experience. So it was it's not like you were, let's try and get this horse out of his comfort zone, because he had everything in his favour. So it was an odd one. I mean, just to see what David Russell said, whether it was a bit like Get a Bird in the first, where he couldn't really control Petit Mouchoir anyway. But once that was happening, all Footpad had to do was jump round at an even pace and he had the race won.
Yes.
Brain Power didn't jump anywhere near as well as he could do, and still managed to run into a second. So Petit Mouchoir was running an absolute corker, and given that he's got an excellent Punchestown record of 1-2-1, I think it is.
Right.
I think it'll be very interesting to see if those two reoppose in the Ryanair Novice at Punchestown in a month or so.
Yeah, it was one of my better bets of the week, Petit Mouchoir. So I'm buoyed by the fact that compensation might be around the corner.
Yes. But will you be going in for that compensation?
Probably, yeah.
Will you be claiming compensation?
Yeah, I'll probably try. Footpad may well have won anyway. He may just prove to be the outstanding novice chase.
But give yourself a chance.
Yeah, yeah. Basically, I think I'm going to.
Yeah.
Kustar Sivola won the next well backed. He took the Ultima Handicap Chase. Great to see Lizzie Kelly on board, a festival winner. And then on to the 3:30, the feature race of the day. Bouvardet, the reigning champion hurdler, retained his crown in the race, but didn't have it all his own way. Didn't perhaps win as the betting may have suggested, just fending off Mellon in the closing stages, with Mick Jazz running another big race into third. Bouvardet's not really had a race this season. He's ran three times, but has not been tested. We knew that coming into the race. The thing that I took out of it is Mellon's sort of stepped forward and is now becoming the horse that sort of connections touted him as when he was a novice. He was supposed to be this good horse. Never really seen it on the track until today.
Yeah, the boy became a man today. He travelled like the best horse in the race. He was always in a good position. He hurdled very well. Sticking to the inside, I think, might well be the downfall for him. Paul Townend, if he could ride the race again, would, because he did get kind of snatched up a little bit when Foyim was falling back through the field. And of course, if you can help it, ideally, you probably want to be on this side of any challenges in that respect. But either way, Bouvardet is a very, very tough customer who's won every race put in front of him, fences, hurdles, regardless, since the best part of 2 years now. And again, we were saying about, it's just grade one races, horses who've been there and done that, they just have a little bit more in the tank. But Mellon, yeah, ran an absolute cracker. And as you said, we haven't seen him live up to that reputation until now. That still means that actually, you know, his record in grade one races now is four runs, four defeats.
Yeah.
And if anything, I actually hope they go for him again next year and something else emerges from the pack, you can take him on with. Yeah. As he might well be a bridesmaid forever.
Yeah.
But in a race with very few genuine contenders, something had to step forward and put it up to the favourite, and it happened to be him.
Got to talk about one or two disappointments in the race. Forheen, of course, the former champion. Is that potentially the last we've seen of him on a racetrack?
I mean, you'd assume so. He's 10 years old. He didn't look himself at all. I mean, you could tell halfway through he was struggling. Yeah, it's disappointing that his career has gone the way it has. But he's still remembered for being a bit of a monster when he was, and things didn't necessarily go to plan for him. Elgin, again, I think he's probably not quite up to this grade. This was his best opportunity. I think he will struggle to do anything else. Mick Jazz is the interesting one.
Yeah.
Given the way that he's always been written off.
Yeah, because when he won the race that Forheen pulled up in, nobody wanted to talk about Mick Jazz.
Nope.
After the race. And he's run another cracker here at a big price.
Yeah, and again, the main thing we were saying about this is how well it points to the chances of Super Sunday.
Yes, yeah, of
in
course.
The Stayers Hurdle, given that Mick Jazz, Forheen, and Identity Thief were all behind Super Sunday last time out. So, but Bouverdale, yeah, it was an odd champion hurdle in the sense that there were very few informed challengers. You have so many trials for this race all season, and you were just begging for something to really throw down the gauntlet. Mm. Like I said, Elgin was the in-form horse, and he's
and
disappointed.
Well. Yeah. One final thought on this race as well. York Hill pulled up in the race. If you're Willie Mullins, you're smacking your head against the brick wall here with this horse.
Yeah.
Because the ability's there, but what on earth do you do with him now? They thought he was going to be a Gold Cup horse, which is right the other end of the spectrum. He's ended up running in the champion hurdle. He's pulled up in it. We know he's got his quirks.
I mean, like yourself, Sam, he's shown a lot of early promise but has blown it through bad behaviour.
Yeah, exactly. and what becomes of York Hill? What becomes of me, Ross?
Well, if it could only decide what he was and what they want to do with him, that's the thing. You need to have a target, a focus, but it's all getting a bit late for York Hill. So, yeah, I mean, given the fact that he's run over fences, he's run over hurdles, he's run over 2 miles, 3 miles, 2.5 miles, they don't quite know what he is. It's a bit late for him, I think.
Yeah, you think they would have arrived at a decision given that the horse is 8 years old now. But another disappointing effort from York Hill. Onto the 4.10 race, the doubles and trebles were building up after that with Footpad and Bouverdare both going in, all rolling onto Apples Jade, who was another reigning champion, going into the Mare's Hurdle. Looked bulletproof for a lot of people. It had been a disappointing start to the meeting for Mullins, Walsh and Ritchie, but they struck with Benny Dedieu, who got the better of Apples Jade, who in the end finished back in third with Midnight Tour sandwiched between the pair. If there was to be a chink in Apples Jade's armoury, Benny Dedieu looked one of the best placed to expose it, but never really seemed to be going with her usual zest, Apples Jade, today, I didn't think.
No, maybe frustrated by being taken on by Le Bragoire early on. But to be fair, she ran a little bit like that last year. But again, she's also not shown her best in heavy ground either. It wasn't, I mean, she really battled back last year to get back up the hill, but it wasn't in these kind of conditions.
Yeah, to be eliminating Vroom Vroom Mag, which is a thrilling finish, wasn't it?
But she had to go through the pain barrier then. So, 2.5 miles in heavy ground up that hill, probably just found her out a little bit. But she was, as you said, the winner was an unknown quantity. Mm. And actually, at one point, halfway down the back straight, looked to be struggling and has relished the test of stamina. So I think it's probably the conditions that have really been the make and break for those two.
Benny Dedieu then providing Rich Ritchie with a winner on day one. We're going to take a look ahead to day two of the festival and pick out a couple of races to look at in a little bit more depth, beginning with the first race on the Wednesday, which is the Ballymore Novices Hurdle, where the betting is headed by Sam Crowe, who's been a market leader for this race for some time at 8-11, 4-1 for Next Destination. Black Op is 10-1, Duke de Genevre 10-1, 16-1 Vision de Flow, 28-1 and bigger for the rest of them. Talk about potential bankers for the week there. Lots of people view Sam Crowe in that way. There was a slight potential deliberation about whether he'd be rerouted to the Supreme. He goes for the Ballymore, despite the fact he was ridiculously impressive over 2 miles in the Deloitte when we last saw him. 8-11, a skinny enough price, but it's hard to put him in any bigger given what he's shown on the track so far.
Yeah, he's been a bit. I mean, of all the Irish talking horses, he's very much the, in inverted commas, the second coming so far.
Yes.
And yeah, he's looked very, very impressive to date.
Which seems to have really wound up Michael O'Leary, who is annoyed at how overhyped the horse is being. It's good to be a pragmatist, of course, and speak after he's actually gone on and done it, but he seems rattled by the hype around this horse.
Yeah, which, I mean, it doesn't take a lot to rattle Michael O'Leary, no, does it, true, to be fair? But I can kind of see what they mean, because, but people just clamouring for anything,
yeah,
aren't they?
Yeah.
In these kind of, these dark winter days.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, he's looked very, very good. But let's get this straight. He's won a maiden hurdle. He then won a grade three at 1-4. And his first test of genuine grade one company in the Deloitte, he passed very easily, beating Duke de Genevieve and Paloma Blue. Paloma Blue's obviously run well since in the Supreme, giving that form a bit of a boost. And he looks a real type. But 2 mile 5 furlongs in heavy ground. It's interesting that they had him in the Supreme until pretty much the last moment.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they were a little bit worried, you know, given the way the conditions are going to go, is it better to utilise his stamina and go for the opener? And I think Next Destination is a real test for him here. So he's the pick for me. He was a good fourth last year in the Champion Bumper. Since going over hurdles, he's done nothing but improve. He's put in two very, very good speed figures when winning at Nace and Navan. And he just looks a horse who relishes a real test. Again, Duke de Genevieve was back in third, so there's not that much between them, yet one's 8-11 and one's 4-1. They're both unbeaten in three hurdles runs. They've both come into this off the back of a Grade 1 win. Except Next Destination's got proven Cheltenham form. And for me, that actually edges me towards him. So I can't quite understand. Well, we can understand the price differential. Yeah. It's the hype. Nobody's hyping Next Destination.
Yeah.
So he has to be the pick for me.
Which is kind of rare for one from this yard as well.
Yes, it's usually the way around, isn't it? Exactly.
Yeah,
it's usually Gordon Elliott who's lurking with a 4-1 shot going, I think ours is as good as yours, mate.
Yes. 4-1 for Next Destination in the Ballymore. Onto the RSA then, which we're also going to preview, the 2:10 on the Wednesday. And at show betting for the RSA, he's presenting Percy at 5-2. 7-2 for Monoli. Album Photos 13-2. Dunikos 15-2. 8-1 Black Corton. 11s and bigger the rest. Presenting Percy obviously won at the festival last year, winning the Potemps. Didn't lose a great deal in defeat behind our Duke last time out. That was still another good run. For me, Ross, Monoli put in the performance of the meeting at Leopardstown at the Dublin Racing Festival. I was blown away by that performance. Glad that he's here instead of the JLT. And I think this could be a really good race this year, because I've mentioned the top two in the market, but there are other genuine contenders in there.
Yes. I mean, the RSA is usually one of, if not my favourite races of the week, because it's a proper test. Staying novices are put through the ringer. Horses who come in off the back of two sauntering wins and go, I've got a chance in this, and then halfway through they're the heartbroken. And I've probably had some of my best bets in this race over the past few years. This one is a bit of a mix. Monoli early on was my first pick for. I thought this horse is going to make a real RSA horse. I fancied in the Albert Bartlett last year, he ran an absolute cracker. I thought all he needs is experience, and running in November, I was like, right, get three or four good runs into him. So far, he's had three runs, he's fallen during one, and he's come out on top on the other two, which admittedly is very impressive. I would have preferred him to go to the JLT, given the conditions. He's a real strong traveller.
Right.
And he was swinging away last year, and he probably just got a little bit outstayed. I think he would have been very hard to beat in the JLT.
Okay.
Because he's up against bomb-proof horses here, and again, horses who've gone through the pain barrier, presenting Percy as, I mean, he's the kind of horse who would just put his hand up for anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll run in that. Yeah, why not? Hurdles, fences. Yeah, let's go over two and a half. Yeah, 3 miles. Yeah, let's win a staying handicap at Fairy House. Why not? Let's do it. And that's a true sign of an RSA horse. So I think he's going to be very hard to beat. But I think Elegant Escape is overpriced.
Okay.
Personally, I think he's underrated. He hasn't done anything wrong this season. He's proven himself in heavy ground. Since going over fences, And bearing in mind, he contested a couple of Grade 1 races last year. He wasn't quite up to it at that time. But since going over fences, he's finished second, second, first, second, first. Yes, his form isn't as classy as a few of these, but I don't think many of them will be will just jump and stay like he does. He's about as, you know, he's about as flashy as a something very unflashy. He's about as flashy as a Ford Fiesta,
right?
But he will just keep going and going and going, and I think he looks overpriced.
Okay.
Yeah, like I said, a light model. Presenting Percy has a real RSA profile to him, but especially in these conditions, this is going to be a real test. So we'll hope that Elegant Escape can plod his way into the places.
He's 11-1, Elegant Escape. The thoughts of Ross Briley there, giving us two to follow on the Wednesday of the Cheltenham Festival. Thank you for that, Ross. You can tune in to William Hill's Racing Radio and listen to all of the action from 1 p.m. on Wednesday. And thank you for listening to the Daily Racing Podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.